Hello, everyone. I'm Jerry Dierman. Welcome to the Solid Lives Weekly Message, and I've got a great message for you today. But first, I want to share something exciting. You know, God has been moving powerfully among our house churches. In fact, we now have well over 100 house churches. Though I thank God for churches in buildings and on campuses, we've learned over the past few years that church can happen in a very meaningful way outside of a building. And God is leading more and more people these days to gather for church in their homes. Not only is it easier for many people to attend a house church, but a house church can provide a level of community that campuses can't. So, here's some exciting news, at least to me. Every Thursday in December and January, I plan to host a house church interest meeting on Zoom. The meetings will be at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're not attending a church right now and are interested, or know of anyone who may be interested in learning how to start a house church, simply email hcinfo@solidlives.com to receive the Zoom link, or click the link in the description of this video. Okay, now, today's message is called Jesus, the Only Safe Place. And in the world that we live in, with people experiencing such anxiety and fear, and some real traumatic issues, we need to learn God's protection, but also we need to be assured that we have it. And this is what this message is going to bring today. I pray that you open your heart to receive it. Grab your Bible, and let's get into this message called Jesus, the Only Safe Place. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 91. Have you ever heard of it? It is, I believe, the most famous psalm when it comes to talking about protection, God's covering over us. And I want to welcome all of you who are joining us online. Thank you so much for being a part of us. Thank you for joining in for this message. This is called Jesus, the Only Safe Place. And I want to thank all of you who have also been giving and partnering with us, though you're afar. May the Lord bless you for that. And may the Lord bless you through this message today, because I really believe it's a timely word from God. How many times have we heard people say in recent years, I don't feel safe? You know, I don't remember 15, 20 years ago people using that term. But in recent times, I hear that a lot. Sometimes it's because people really aren't safe. But other times, it's just a feeling. They just don't feel safe. On the other hand, there are many people who feel safe, not realizing that they're actually in imminent danger. We all know the value of being safe, but isn't it true that if you don't feel safe, your quality of life is significantly diminished despite the level of danger? Well, I want you to know that our God knows that both being safe and feeling safe are important. And I want to show you some of the things that he said about these. And I also want to say that we're living in a turbulent world. This is not the world I grew up in. Our world has changed dramatically. There is darkness in this world. I mean deep darkness, as Isaiah 60 verse 2 prophesies. You turn on news and you can hear so many lies on the news. And that is just not what I'm used to, that it would be that prevalent. You don't know who to trust anymore. You don't know what report is true and what report's not true. And I want to get down to something solid today. Something where we know that this is true. We know that this works every time. Our God wants us to be physically safe, mentally safe, emotionally safe, financially safe, and most importantly, eternally safe. So I want to walk through Psalm 91 today, and I want you to let the Lord minister to you. The Bible says the Word of God is living and powerful, is living. It's alive. The Bible says all Scripture is God-breathed, not was God-breathed, and now it's just an ancient book. No, all Scripture is God-breathed. So the Lord is breathing this out today, and I want to encourage you to open your heart to receive. In fact, just say it out loud. Say, Lord, I receive what you have to say to me. All right, Psalm 91, I'd like us to read out loud the first two verses together. We're going to read from the New King James Version. If you don't have that translation, that's all right. You can follow along on the screens. But let's all read Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, reading loudly and together, let's read. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. So notice again verse 1. It says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the what? The secret place. Okay. Well, if it's a secret, how do you get there? You know, I would venture to say, I've not done a survey myself, but I would venture to say that if we took a survey of every church attender in the United States and maybe in all Western nations and asked them, hey, do you know about the secret place of the Most High? Yes, Psalm 91. And then we ask, okay, how do you get there? I'll bet you the majority of people would not know how to get there. How many of you know you can have a great place, but if you don't know how to get there, it does you no good. We need to understand how to get there. I'm going to show you exactly how to get there today. That's why you came today. I'm going to show you exactly how to get there today. And it's not hard. And it doesn't take an hour and a half to get there. No, I'm going to show you today. So watch this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, watch this, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? You'll be close to God. In fact, you'll be under the shadow. You'll be under His shadow. Verse 2, watch this. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. This is the way you talk when you're in the secret place. You don't say, oh, what if the economy goes bad? Oh, what if this circumstance doesn't change? Oh, what if I don't get more income? Oh, what if I can't pay off my debts? Oh, what if this sickness gets to me? Oh, what if the doctor's report is true? No, you don't talk like that. It's not that we don't experience the same kinds of challenges that everybody else does. But when you're in the secret place, you don't talk like that because you're aware of a different reality. Is that right? How many of you know that if you take the son of a homeless person and you take the son of a billionaire and they both got into credit card debt, how many of you know that's two different circumstances? Is that right? Now, they may have the same problem, but this one's got daddy over here and he's loaded. And daddy may want to teach you a lesson, but the bottom line is you're not going to be put out on the streets. And this is what we have to understand. We are not like everybody else. Amen. We have a God. We have a source. And so when you come into the secret place, you talk differently. And you don't say, well, what if this and what if that? You say, no. Okay, oh, we fell behind here. Oh, yeah, we got charged extra interest on top of whatever we were doing. Or this sickness happened or whatever. What comes out of our mouth is not, oh no. What comes out of our mouth is, well, thank God that God is going to heal me. Thank God that He's going to provide this need. Isn't that right? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. And what happens? Look at verse 3. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So that means if COVID this or that, some new virus or whatever is coming on the earth, we say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Isn't that right? And surely He will deliver me from that. You know, I remember many years before COVID, you know, sometimes these flus would, you know, have a real bad season for the flu. And then you'd be in a conversation, somebody say, yeah, I heard the flu is really bad. It's going around right now. And one person would say, yeah, and it's going around me in Jesus' name. And another person would say, yeah, I know, I get it every year. Yeah. And they both end up being right. And they both end up being right. Isn't that right? But listen, the Bible teaches you don't talk like everybody else. Doesn't matter what happened last year. To this year, we look to the Lord and we say, no, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. And the Bible says, surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. That would include viruses. Notice verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Does that make God a turkey? Is he a chicken? Well, why does he have wings and feathers? This is a metaphor, and God is saying, look, I'm not just going to stand there and you get close to me and then you're safe because you're close to me. Oh, no. It says he shall cover you like a hen with her little chicks when danger is around. And the mother hen stretches out her wings and pulls them in and covers them. This is what God said he will do to you. He will proactively stretch out his wings around you and pull you in from the danger. Isn't that right? And he'll stare down whatever danger that is. Say, you got a problem? You got a problem? Because you ain't getting these. These are in the secret place. Amen? These are in the secret place. Look at this in the end of verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. This relates to the armor of God. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. This is the Lord saying, I not only want you to be protected from danger, I want you to be rid of fear. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You're not going to lay awake at night worried about finances, worried about sickness, worried about your relationship falling apart with somebody. Worried about what's going to happen with your job. Worried about if you're going to do well here or do well there. God said, no, no, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You will not be afraid. Well, I heard a noise. Maybe they're going to come get me. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. The Lord does not only want you to be protected. He wants you to be at peace and to know he is awake. While you're sleeping, he's awake. And he's watching. Can you see it? So the Lord here is not only talking about protection. He's talking about, oh, peace of mind. Oh, I feel safe. How many of you know there's a difference? Sometimes you just feel good and you go to sleep and it's peaceful. And other times you're worried and you can't sleep. And it's terrorizing in your mind because you're concerned about something. And the Lord says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, problems of the day. Verse 6, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. What does that mean? You can't see these viruses. You can't see these things, but you're not going to be afraid of them. Amen. No, we're not going to be afraid. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Now watch verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That kind of doesn't even make sense. How could 1,000 people fall at your side in your right hand? Now notice, these are not enemies attacking you. These are people at your side. They're on your team. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. How could that be if it's at my side and my right hand? Well, here's why. Because see, the secret place is something in the spirit that you get tucked into. Let me give this example. It's not a good enough example, but how many of you know you can go to Washington, D.C. and drive down certain streets and there's an embassy, 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 embassy from all different countries? And it appears that these embassies are right here in the United States, but they're not. Not a one of them is. Because the moment you walk through any of those gates, you're in that country. That territory belongs to that nation. And so our police can't go in there. Our FBI can't go in there. We have to be invited in there. That's not our country. And when you walk through those gates, you're not a citizen in that country. So don't expect that you have all the rights. No, that's a different country. And in the same way, you could be standing right in a certain place and somebody standing right next to you. But you're tucked into the secret place and they're not. And it appears when you just look that we're all in the same place, but we're not. It's like the land of Goshen and the land of Egypt that Pastor Carl talks about, right? And God makes a distinction. How can you have swarms of flies right here, but then there's a border and the flies don't go over here? How can you have darkness that's so thick you could feel it here, but across the border, it's not like that? We're talking about something supernatural. But God is a supernatural God, and this is the way it works. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but God says, look, if everybody else goes down, you will not go down. And this is the way we need to talk. This is the way we need to believe. Well, I'm not going down. I'm not going down. Well, you're on the ship and the ship is going down. Well, the ship might be going down, but I'm not going down. Isn't that right? No, we need to know we don't have a God that's limited to natural circumstances. He's supernatural, and he does these things. I've had people tell me over the years, one person said, man, I was driving in the car, and this car swerved right in front, and I don't even know how it didn't hit me. And eyewitnesses said, we don't know how that car didn't hit you. Well, I know how it didn't. Amen. I know how it didn't. Look at this. Verse 8. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward. You ever notice that certain people that are disobedient to God, maybe even atheist, and yet their life seems to be blessed, like they're wealthy. Things seem to be going well for them. God says, you'll only see that with your physical eyes. Because if you can see in the spiritual realm, you'll realize they're headed for disaster. Is that right? Only with your physical eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. If you could see with the reality, they're about to be taken out. And it's true. Look at verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Ooh, we just have there a key to the secret place. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, what'll happen? Verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now notice, this happens not just because, well, we're Christians, so it just happens. Nope, it doesn't happen like that. You're mistaken. It does not happen like that. It happens because of what it said. Because you have made the Lord, the psalmist says, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. You chose to dwell with the Lord. You chose to fellowship with him. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. Because you made the Lord your dwelling place. You did something intentionally. You didn't just go about your life like everybody else, as if there's no God, and yet you call yourself a Christian. No, you do something different. I want to live with God. I want to be with him. I want to fellowship with him. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I remember I was flying on a plane one time, and it was one of those flights where, man, the turbulence was bad. You know, you usually get some turbulence, but sometimes it's really bad. I remember one time I was flying, I think, into Philadelphia, and it's raining so hard and everything. And man, the turbulence was so bad. And I'm looking out the window. I had a window seat looking out the window. And I mean, the wings looked like they were a bird flapping like this. And you know, your mind starts wondering, how strong are those wings? How far can they bend? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I was on a flight one time, and there's this bad turbulence. And I look over next to me, and here's a person there gripped with fear. I mean, they got a hold of the armrest like this. And they're looking ahead like this, and I could tell, oh, that's miserable. I mean, I'm sitting right next to them. I'm not miserable. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride or whatever. But they're miserable. I mean, it is tormenting. And so I just said to them, I said, are you nervous? And I said, well, let me just tell you, you picked the right flight. Because God has given his angels charge over me. And so you may not see them, but they're angels carrying this plane right along. We're protected. You don't have anything to worry about. You know, people get real open to the gospel. They could have boarded the flight an atheist, and all of a sudden, they're ready to hear about Jesus. Isn't that true? That fear will just grip you. But this is a reality. And it's not a reality because you call yourself a Christian or you believe in Jesus, but because you make the Lord your dwelling place. You lean into him. This is what I'm going to show you. Look at verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. This applies definitely to wild animals and you being protected from that. But this also applies to the demonic. The Bible says Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus said, that's in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. And then Jesus said in Luke 10, 19, and 20, he said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10, 19. See, and so this is talking about them too. You're going to tread upon them. Verse 14, now watch this. Because he has set his love upon me. Now God is directly talking. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Notice, because he set his love upon me. Notice, not because he felt a lot of warm fuzzies. You know, often a couple get married and they got these great feelings of love and such. But you know, as the years go on, sometimes those feelings aren't there. Right? The Bible doesn't say, husbands, feel love for your wives. He didn't say anything about feeling. He said, love them. I've learned if you love them, the feelings come. But love is a decision. I choose to love them. I could love them or I could not love them. The Bible says, husbands, love them. Didn't say feel it. Yeah, I just don't feel the same. God didn't say feel it. He said, love them. And God here says, because he set his love upon me, that means a decision. I've even had times over the years where I've said to the Lord, Lord, you've been so good to me and you're so worth my adoration and my love. But for whatever reason, my heart is not feeling that hunger and that love towards you like it ought to. But I'm telling you that even so, I set my love upon you. I love you. I bless you. You are my number one in life. And this is what God is saying here. Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, watch God. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me. Wait. I gotta hit the end of verse 14 again. I will set him on high because he has known, listen, not just me. He has known what? My name. Hold that in your minds, okay? He has known my name. Now watch verse 15. He shall call upon me. So I want you to notice, he has known my name and he shall call upon me. He has known my name and he shall call upon me. Just hold that in your thinking. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Watch this. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And not only that, verse 16, God added this. He didn't have to add it. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What is God saying? And this is not going to be a one-time thing either. This is the way she and I are going to live for the rest of their lives. It's going to happen again. And again, I'm going to deliver them again and again and again. And they're going to go on and have a healthy, long life and be satisfied. Amen. Can you see this? This is so important. This is what God wants for everybody. Now, as you can see, God makes promises to us not only to protect us, but so that we feel protected. We feel safe. We're unafraid. We're at peace. Listen to Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Read that with me, would you? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now notice, It didn't say the Lord is a strong tower. He is. But notice it says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. Now, this is just, you know, there are people that have been going to church for 30 years. And if you say, hey, have you ever heard of this? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah. How do you run to it? Huh? How do you run to the strong tower of the name of the Lord? Like this. How many of you know that's not how you do it? I said, how many of you know that's not how you do it? You don't run physically to the strong tower of the name of the Lord. See, if we don't understand how to get to the secret place, we can't get there. You have to know how to get there. You have to understand. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Listen to Joel 2:32. God says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. How do you run to the strong tower of the name of the Lord? You call out to God. I don't know what it is. I think it must be some spiritual resistance from the darkness that in the world we live in. But for whatever reason, there are so many Christians, church attenders and such that are going through a difficulty, a financial challenge, a health challenge, a relational challenge, or whatever, and they need God. But for some reason, they just can't seem to call out to the name of Jesus. They struggle. They talk about how they need the Lord, but they just can't do what Jesus said. Jesus said, look, go into a room and shut the door behind you, not to be seen by anybody, and call out to your Father who's in the secret place. Isn't that what he said? Call out to your Father who's in the secret place, and he'll reward you openly. He'll answer your prayer. Isn't that what Jesus said to do? But for whatever reason, you and I, we've all been through things, but we don't do it. And I'm not saying none of us do. I'm just saying there are times where we don't. Are you listening to me? There are times where we don't. And then we wonder why our track record of seeing the deliverance of God is not good. But this says, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, it requires some humility. It requires humility. And it requires us to stop looking for other solutions and to admit that we have the solution in the Lord. Just shut the door and call out to God. He's so tender-hearted. He's so compassionate. And when we set our love upon him and call out to him, he wants to answer us. And notice this, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those three words, shall be saved, are translated from one Hebrew word that means, literally, shall escape. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall escape. Shall escape. Escape what? Escape whatever's threatening them. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall escape whatever's threatening them. Yeah, but see, in my situation, I mean, they're foreclosing on my house. And who's foreclosing on your house? Well, I mean, it's a big company. Bigger than God? No, we got to get it through our heads. We got to stop insulting God as if he's not able to do the extraordinary. He created the entire world. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. We have to come to the Lord and say, you have the solution. You are my solution. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall escape from whatever's threatening them. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul quoted this in Romans 10:13. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel was writing in Hebrew. Paul's writing in Greek, but they're both inspired. Okay, so this word saved is translated from a Greek word, and the Greek word means this, to be delivered or rescued. So we know this, that between these two passages, this same promise, the Bible says, whoever will get over themselves and call on the name of the Lord will be delivered, will be rescued, and will escape from whatever's threatening them. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. Boy, that's being in the secret place. Boy, that's a secret because the world doesn't know about that. In fact, most Christians don't even know how to do this. But you do, because God's speaking it to us today. Isn't that right? God's speaking it to us today. Therefore, since we know that this is inspired, we know these promises belong to us. I remember about maybe 22 years ago or so, Kimberly and I, we've always had a strong marriage, good marriage. We've always tried to walk in love with each other and such, but, you know, we're not perfect, so I'm still working on her. And you know how true that is. She's working on me, too. But I remember we hit a rough spot about 22 years ago. And nobody was trying to be mean to anybody or anything like that, but she was trying to communicate something to me about the way that I was working with her or talking with her or something. And for whatever reason, I was not understanding what she was saying. And I was saying, so what do you mean? Give me an example, you know? And I'm really trying to understand, but I'm not catching it, and I'm not seeing that she has something valid here. But she kept trying to bring it to me here and there, and I'm trying to, what do you mean? I wasn't thinking that. Well, you know, so all that, you understand how the conversation goes, right? I wasn't trying to be mean, but I know this. I was not catching what she was saying. And it was hurting her more and more and more the more I would just not hear it, not be able to catch it or whatever, argue it or whatever. And one day, I'll never forget it. We were in a rented home. It was early on in this church. And she was trying to explain it to me one more time here, and I wasn't getting it. And she finally says, I'm done. And it was very emotional. You know, you can tell when somebody is, it's deep. The hurt was deep. And she said, I'm done. And she walked away and she walked upstairs. Well, I didn't know exactly what I'm done means, right? She told me later, no, I don't mean done with the marriage. You know, I was like, well, I didn't know. I'm done. You walk away. You know, what does that mean? And I was honestly scared. Because I don't want that. I don't want that. I want her to feel loved. I want her to be loved, but I want her to feel loved. And so I'm standing there and I'm realizing, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm doing something wrong. Something's not going right here, obviously. And I just called out to the Lord right there. I was just still standing in the exact same place she left me. And I just said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm doing something that's hurting her. Lord, help me to get it. And then I didn't know what else to say. So I just started praying in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, pray. Right? This is what we do. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be rescued, shall escape from whatever's threatening them. And I didn't think about that at that point. I just knew I need something right now. And as I just prayed in the Spirit, maybe for a minute or so, I just fell down in here, the Lord say, do this. Go upstairs and do this and say this. And I went up and started doing it. It didn't seem like it was working at all. You know how your mind will tell you that was a bad idea. But it did. It did. And something broke loose. She started crying, weeping, really. And I started crying and weeping. And she will tell you that a stronghold was broken right then, and that I changed. And I will tell you that a stronghold was broken right then, and I don't know what happened. Because I didn't understand any more than I understood before. I still didn't know what, I don't even know what's going on. But I can tell you this, she knew something changed. Sometimes you don't even understand what it is, but there's a stronghold. There's something there. And of course, the enemy was trying to destroy this ministry before it could even get off of the ground. Right? And if he could destroy this couple, well, maybe he can destroy the ministry too. But I just called out on the name of the Lord. Folks, listen, God is real. We don't only have a book of principles. There's a God who's backing these words. And he wants us to come to him. Make him our dwelling place. Make him our refuge and fortress. Call out to him. And he said, I'll answer you. But don't go on like the rest of the world does and ignore me. Come to me. I'm your father. Isn't that right? And Jesus is saying, I'm your advocate. I'm your savior. I'm on your side. I came to deliver you. Is that right? So, the Bible teaches us that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered, rescued, and they'll escape from whatever's threatening them. Listen to Psalm 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So the way to run to the strong tower of the name of the Lord is to just call out, Jesus, help me. Lord, help me. It seems so simple. Getting to the secret place is so simple. But it requires something from our heart by decision that we call out to God. It's that simple. You can get into the secret place in 5 seconds. That's how good our God is. That's how close he is. That's how close he is. Listen to Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So this is not only talking about protection. This is talking about peace. Oh, and not only peace, but what kind of peace? Perfect peace. Complete peace. How many of you like complete peace? You lie down, you don't have a care in the world. Just go to sleep with a smile on your face. And this is what the Bible is saying. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Does this sound like the Psalm 91 person? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. See, this is exactly how to be in the secret place. We need to lean into God, turn to him, call out to his name, and say, I'm trusting you. I believe. And not just, help me, God, as if he's reluctant. But to say, no, I know you will help me. I know you love me. You're my refuge. You're my safe place. You'll keep him in perfect peace. Now, there's a discipline here, too, because your mind thinks a lot of thoughts. And if you don't watch it, they'll just pop out of your mouth. They'll just pop out of your mouth. Like the guy, you know, the flu is going around. Yeah, and I get it every year. What are you saying? I have no protection. And here your God is right there, listening to you insult him. But he's not going to do anything against what you say. We need to say the word of God. Isn't that right? You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. There's a discipline here. I remember listening to a teacher of the word and of faith in the promises of God for him. His ministry lasted 60-something years before he went on home to be with Jesus. But he just had this way about him that the Lord had taught him early on in life. God had healed him from an incurable disease. And so he just had this way about him that he refused to worry. He's like David in the Psalms, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not I don't feel any fear. I refuse to fear evil, for you're with me. And he just had that about him. He just cast his care over on the Lord all the time and refused to worry. And one day that just irritated his wife because she's trying to talk about real challenges or finances or whatever. And he just would not get down there and worry about him with her. And she said, you know what? You wouldn't worry about anything if me and the kids just fell down dead right here on the porch. And he said, Well, what would there be to worry about if you're already dead? Well, she didn't appreciate that a whole lot. But it does have some truth to it. You know, no matter what circumstance we're in, we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't worry. Listen to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This is David. Whom shall I fear? This is not arrogance. This is confidence. You want to know why David didn't die on the battlefield, even though he was in battle after battle after battle after battle after battle? Well, he was just a great warrior. He wasn't that good. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, not because I'm a great warrior. No, but the Lord is my light. The Lord is the strength of my life. Why would I be afraid of any human being when the Lord is the one backing me? Can you see this? This is the way God wants us to live. He's saying, would you believe I'm real? Would you believe that I'm not just a floating cloud with no brain out in the cosmos? Would you believe that I know who you are, that I care about you, and that I made these promises to you intentionally so that when you call upon me, I'm going to keep them? Is that right? See, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. So David is saying, look, I got soldiers coming right at me. But he's saying they stumbled and fell. Now why? Because God tripped them. Yeah, that's why. That's what David is saying. David's saying, man, God trips them. They stumble, they fall. Something goes awry. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a major company or if it's the government coming against you or whatever. Did you know if you call out to the Lord, they're not big enough? And I'm not saying we don't have to take responsibility for mistakes or anything like that. But what I am saying is we're not like everybody else. We have a God who has compassion on us, and he will help us. Verse 3, though an army may encamp against me, not against my army, against me, a whole army against me. He said, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me, in this I'll be confident. Listen to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. But listen to verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Not just the danger, but the fears. All of it's gone. Amen. That's what the Lord's saying to you today. That's what I want to do for you. I want to deliver you from all your fears. All your fears. All your fears. You remember Philippians 4:7? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense how you have that much peace. Shouldn't you be worried? No. This surpasses understanding. There's something supernatural. Because I know who's with me, I have peace that passes understanding. Well, talk about peace that surpasses understanding. Listen to Psalm 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We love that. Look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. Notice I never feel fear. It doesn't say that. It says we will not. We refuse to fear. Now watch this. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. Even though the earth be removed. You know, it's one thing to get your car repossessed. It's another thing to lose your housing. It's another thing to have your spouse or close friend leave you, break the relationship. But how many of you know, we really don't know what that's like to have the earth be removed. I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be standing around saying, do you guys remember what it was like to have an earth under our feet? How many of you know that's probably not going to happen? Isn't that right? Like, this is bad. But notice the psalmist says, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, listen, even if the earth under our feet was removed, we will not fear. Why? Well, Jesus will be along here pretty soon to take us to heaven. Isn't that right? And it's reality. It's not just to help us to cope. These are not just concepts for coping. This is a reality. The creator of heaven and earth is our Father. And he really is with us. He really is with us. Isn't that right? He really is with us. Our God is really with us. Praise God. He's really with us. Well, let me tell you, this is what the Lord is saying to you today. The Lord is telling you, I am with you. And I'm giving you directions to the secret place. Number one, you make me your dwelling place. Let me give you some tips. Number one, you need to make sure to have a time and a place where you meet the Lord every day. Well, what happens if it gets messed up? Don't worry. God's not going anywhere. If you had to do it an hour earlier, an hour later, or this afternoon, but do it. Have a time and a place and say, I need to meet him. Why? Because you're making him your dwelling place. This is who I go to. This is who I meet. This is who I talk to. Number two, have a Bible reading plan. I've been providing Bible reading plans to people, and we'll talk again about it at the end of the year, for years. And I've had some people over the years that'll say, oh, thank you, I have my own plan. Well, I decided I'm going to drill down on that a little bit. And so I like to say, oh, yeah, there are other good plans and such. What is your plan? Huh? What's your Bible reading plan? Oh, well, you know, I just asked the Lord what he wants me to read that day. Oh, yeah, okay. What'd you read today? Oh, today I didn't read today. Oh, what'd you read yesterday? Well, honestly, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, somebody can just say, I got my own thing, but most people don't. Get on a Bible reading plan and begin to read the Word of God so that you get to all of it and not just to the parts that you like. So you let God speak to you through his Word. And if you miss a day or two or more, well, just jump back on the horse. And don't be a perfectionist that, you know, oh, I've already missed a few days now. Well, get in line. Everybody's missed days. Raise your hand if you've never missed a day in your life reading your Bible. No. I know every one of you, the day after you were born, you didn't read your Bible. No, everybody's done this. I tell you what, I'm on two plans right now because I'm discipling somebody, so I'm on a plan with him. But then I'm on my own plan. And I've gotten behind on my own plan. Then I go to read and I'm thinking, well, I'm days behind, you know, where I ought to be. And guess what? The Lord will speak the exact thing I needed that day. And so, but I don't tell the Lord, see, Lord, that's why I track behind, because I know that. No. But God knows how to speak to us, isn't that right? Yes. Get on. And then, let me say this. Call out to him. Shut the door behind you. Get to where you're comfortable. Lift your hands or get on your knees or whatever and say, God, help me. Help me. I need you. That humility, so precious. God resists the proud, but what? He gives grace to the humble. So easy to get into the secret place. And if you don't know what to pray, a lot of people have been believers for a long time, and they get into prayer, they don't really know what to pray. Well, I still often follow along with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name, Lord. Your name is so high. Oh, I bless you and I bless the name of Jesus. See, you just sit on that one phrase. It's not repeating the prayer. You know how many Our Fathers you're doing? Jesus said, don't do that vain repetition stuff. You're not going to be heard because you said it enough times. Jesus specifically said, don't do that. But we can come and take each phrase and pray that from our hearts to the Lord. And I found out, man, you get into these phrases and it opens up what you need to pray about. Everything from your will be done, not mine. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't lead us into temptation, Lord. Lead us around temptation and deliver us from evil. Boy, you get into praying that, and the Holy Spirit reminds you of what temptations the enemy's trying to bring against you, and you're praying about that. Lord, get me away from that. Keep me away from that. Boy, I tell you, this is the secret place. Anybody catching this? It's right here. It's not hard. But the flesh doesn't like it. The flesh is, let me just say this out loud with me. Oh, you're going to like this. Ready? Say it out loud. Say, my flesh is stupid. It's true. No, I didn't mean. Guess I should have told you when to cut off, huh? Come on, let's stand together. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands before the Lord right now. Let's do this. Let's call out to the name of Jesus. Jesus, we call out to your name right now. Go ahead, you on your own, in your own words, just say, Jesus, I'm calling out to you right now. This is the way I live from now on. Oh, I am not going to be silent. I am going to call out to your name. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to it. And this is how I run to it. I run to it by calling out to you. Jesus, you are my source. Jesus, you are my Savior. I love you, Lord, and you are my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in you I will trust. Bless your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Now, right there while you're with him, just say, Lord, this is what I need. You may not want to say it loudly, but just tell him, Lord, this is what I need from you. I need help from you. I need help from you. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you not only hear every prayer being prayed right now, but you answer. Lord, may even in the next few days or a week or 2 weeks, Lord, do something that shows that you are real and present and that you respond when we call upon you. In the name of Jesus. Somebody is newer here and you haven't been walking with Jesus, and the Lord is saying, you're in the right place. Keep pressing in. Keep coming. Keep pressing in. Keep coming. And I'm going to lead you, says the Lord. I'm going to lead you, says the Lord, for I love you and I brought you here to talk to you because you belong to me and I want to protect you and bless you. Keep leaning into me, says the Lord. Keep coming and leaning into me and watch what I'll do for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came today. Aren't you? Come on, let's thank God for his word.
Thank you for joining us today on the Jerry Dearman Podcast. And thank you to those of you who have partnered with Solid Lives to help get this message and others like it to thousands of people around the world. If you would like to partner with Solid Lives and the ministry of Jerry Dearman, visit solidlives.com/give. To find out more about the ministry of Solid Lives, how you can be a part of this church planting and disciple making movement, or for more great teachings and resources by Jerry, visit solidlives.com. We also want to invite you to join us on our daily podcast or on YouTube for the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dearman. Each day, Jerry reads through a chapter of the New Testament and gives us key insights and applications for our lives. What a great way to start your day as you journey with us through the New Testament as you never have before. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.